To ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, looky here. Well. Still alive. Oh, if our intern only had as much faith as I did. Poor Jordan.
What?
Poor Jordan.
What?
During the game, just unhappy. Pressure. The New Orleans Pelicans managed to hold on and get a big old win yesterday, Jordan. Big old win. Final call as you heard it right here on ESPN New Orleans.
We'll cross the timeline with Ingram. The Pelicans will defeat the Memphis Grizzlies all three times. These two have faced each other. And JD, the season is still very much alive. There's the horn. This one belongs to the Pelicans. They now have a W in the bubble. Your final score, New Orleans 109, Memphis 99. And the Western Conference playoff race, JD, is tightening as we speak.
Well, I think JJ Redick spoke of...
Matt, it's amazing what happens with one win, isn't it, Jordan? Yesterday, the show started. Oh, no. Something's wrong with Zion. Fire Gentry.
I'm glad I wasn't
Griffin's
here yesterday.
Griffin's terrible. I mean, it's what it is, though. I try to tell everybody, look, it's two different games. You know, you shouldn't have been happy. You didn't like what you saw, the beating that the Clippers had. And the Utah Jazz game, we used the word, it was an F word on Friday, frustration. Just tons of it, right? Because it was a game that I think everyone feels we let get away. Pelicans let get away. That said, it was a do-or-die game last night. Pelicans, as you just heard the guy say, do win it. 109-99. And a game, really, that, Jordan, if the Pels make their free throws, it's a bigger margin of victory. Again, love to hear your takes. Love to hear your opinions on what you thought watching the game last night. You know the number, 800-998-1003. On social media, Jordan, how can people chime in on the question of the day?
Yeah, you could go to our Twitter page at ESPN Radio NOLA and on our feed. Pelicans fans, give us your takeaway from yesterday's Pelicans win against the Grizzlies 109-99.
I think one of the things that that stood out, of course, is you saw from the very beginning. Now, Jordan, yesterday you went here and I mentioned, look, one of the things – other than a victory last night, other than a victory, what was it that you wanted to see? And, you know, we had our guest on yesterday, and I think a lot of people wanted to see, at the very least, Jordan, just the team come out and be competitive and play like the kind of basketball that we had been used to seeing. I said specifically I wanted to see a quick start, get some confidence in you, and more importantly, as the graph even brought up when we spoke to him yesterday, not be battling back, even in that win against Milwaukee, Jordan, and any other game or two in the scrimmage. Pels were down early, and it just you use a little more energy than such, right? But it was nice from the get-go. Game starts, opening possession.
Favors top of the key, right wing now, Lonzo. High pick and roll with Faves. Step back three right at the top for Zoe.
Down. Boom, right there. I mean, I'm looking at it. Carver's playing next to me, and I go, whoo! And he goes, well, what? You scared me, Daddy. I'm like, well, it's good. It's good to see Lonzo Ball knock down that three early. Jordan, on Friday, you were like, you know, Zoe's got a how nice was it to see Lonzo Ball knock down that first? And look, he only had another shot that he knocked down. Whoa. He was 2-7 the entire game. But I just thought it started things. 7 points for him, did have 6 assists. And look, and I still think he can play better. Right? I mean, he still can. I mean, I think he's capable of more than 7 points. He's capable more of the 6 assists. Again, the other guys have got to make it. He's better than 2 of 7. But just that one started it sort of immediately, and it's just that sense. And I know it's crazy because it's literally seconds into the game. They score, they're up 2-0. But you hit that three, and you just saw the team kind of start making shots after that.
Well, what I think, it was just a sense of relief. I mean, after that Clippers game, you couldn't get much worse than just giving up points. I mean, Clippers were shooting lights out. You having struggle holding on to the ball, putting down shots, and then that was just kind of a sigh of relief.
And it's
all
nuts
right.
to think it was that early. I mean, like, it was literally correct. Seconds in the first minute of the game. But I don't know. I saw that three. I'm like, all right. Okay, and I think it just kind of leads to it, right? Later on, Pels put the lead up to 19-8.
Center of the lane, rebound favors back the other way. The Pels are pushing the pace. Ingram, kick it to Redick.
Shooter.
Right corner three, let's you know go! It.
Shooter.
Timeout, Memphis.
Pels pushing the pace, and because they push the pace, they don't allow Memphis to set defensively, and you get the best shooter in the gym. Wide open in the corner.
Again, 19-8 at that point. Memphis is calling timeout. I'm high-fiving Willa Carver.
And then you get angry.
I didn't
and
get
then,
angry.
Then we get angry.
No, B.I. continued
back to B.I. right at the top. Clark on him. Little stutter step. Spins in the lane. Fall away jumper from the dotted line. That is pretty.
See, that was good. And Memphis made a little bit of a run.
It was kind of back and forth
and,
the same
and what
of
have
way.
You been saying? The bench has got to step up a bit, right?
Correct.
And a lot of people going into that game on Thursday against the Jazz, well, we went into the eight games to say, look, Melly has an opportunity to be that guy. He needed to make this three.
A ball straight away. Feed it to Zion. Goes behind the back, back out to Melly, fingers the seam for a right wing
that
three.
Was smooth.
And that's Nico yes. Melly's first made three in the bubble.
Okay, but you heard Grant. First made three. You need it. I mean, you needed to have that happen, right?
Well, no, I mean.
5 points. That's all he had. But again, timing is everything. Here's the other thing that's interesting with Melly. He's only 1 of 4. That's his lone shot that he made mm-hmm. in 20 minutes. Again, he can play a little bit more, a little better. But 4 assists. 4 assists.
Yeah, he was making some nice passes.
Right. So, I mean, even if you're not knocking down jumpers, he's being productive in the time that he's on the court. And then, again, Brandon Ingram, man, showing up again.
Favors gets the steal. Now Ingram splits defender, center of the lane, laying up and in and one.
Oh, the hesitation in the air, and then the English to kiss it in.
Brandon Ingram led the team in scoring 24 points. Nice stat line, 7 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals. You saw the demeanor, right? He still had 4 turnovers, but still, you kind of just saw him really want to bounce back, though. I liked that, right? And it was interesting in the broadcast, they were talking about body language a bit. And you saw when Memphis made a run, the Pels kind of got down a bit and had to shoot themselves back into it, into this game here. Had the halftime lead again. I just, for the most part, watching this game, you felt good because I don't know, again, my eyeballs, even though I did warn you, please don't text or tweet. Don't do it. Don't do it right before halftime.
Well,
don't do it.
After the Utah game, I just haven't texted in that group message.
Don't do it. And then I said, look, they made a run. You know, the NBA is a game of runs. And they got it close, and they were hovering around in there. But what we saw yesterday was just key plays. Outside and inside, though, right? They got it down a couple of, you know, within six, essentially. And then what I love was they attacked the basket. They didn't settle for shots. Drew Holiday.
That was Drew Holiday smothering him on that shot. And Drew with the back
cut.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful feed, Melly. Long bounce pass to Holiday for the two-hand stuff.
And you heard JD talking about the defense first, and that's something, again, that we hadn't seen in the first two games, really, the kind of defense that the Pels wanted to play. Defense turning into offense there.
I think the defense still needs to improve a lot more. Mm-hmm. In the future, if the Pelicans want to have a real shot of making a long run in the playoffs, because even though they get the win last night, I saw a bunch of things that the Pelicans can do much better on the defensive end of the floor.
Now, the other thing that you saw, again, the bench coming through in the clutch. I played that Melly lone shot he made was the three. Look, it's 71-76. Memphis just won't go away for whatever reason. We can't put them away. Josh Hart.
Frank Jackson sprints into the front court to Melly. Kick it near corner to Hart. You got to take the three,
nice,
Josh,
nice.
And rinse the three.
Hart to Hart. Josh made a couple of threes in that right corner.
Oh, he wanted to pass it to JT. You got to take it, number three.
One of the things that you were talking about, too, you were texting me about getting some guys some minutes, and Frank Jackson was one. Look, he only played 2 minutes. But, again, you heard him. He was part of that, you know, situation there. But Frank got in. Nikhil Alexander Walker got in for 5 minutes. Neither scored, but, you know, Nah got a rebound. And, you know, Frank Jackson, technically, he took the shot. That's the only stat line. But he was on the court, and you want to see more of this, he was saying.
Yeah, I think the reason why you saw Naughton so early in last night's game or yesterday's game is because of what he did at the end of the Clippers game. I mean, it was him and Kenny Hustle doing a bunch of the hard work. They they made it somewhat of a respectable loss, meaning like it wasn't a 35-point blowout like it should have been. I think just giving that hustle and showing the team what they can do when they're down a bunch of points and not having that give-up mentality really helped his case, and I think you'll see some more playing time from Nickeil Alexander-Walker in the near future, especially if Frank Jackson is kind of struggling.
John the Chaser is going to join us next segment. I'm going to ask him, too, is he surprised we haven't seen Kenrich Williams?
I'm surprised. I think he should be playing a lot
more. Both of those guys. So I'll ask him coming up here in a little bit. But, again, it's going through the chronic, you know, the timeline of this game. And look, it got tight, and then you started seeing guys put this game away here. J.J. Redick first.
Zion foot on the arc, right wing. Handed off to Redick. Off the cut. Shooter for three. Yes.
Shooter.
Yes, yes.
Then Redick again.
Now Jackson another three. You missed that one by a hair. Rebound Lonzo Ball is pushing it. Get it to Redick.
Shooter.
Stop, pop three, left wing. Got it.
There you go.
Then, Jordan, what I took out of the final 3 minutes was the most important part and probably...
Would have won you
probably,
the Jazz game.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Probably there were some fans out there that did the old throwing of the couch cushion at the TV or stood up and did the, you know, arms out. Kind of look like I'm praying here. You know, the palms are towards the sky there. And I'm just...
You're looking at 2-1.
Staring at the TV going, well, where was that on Thursday? And what I'm talking about was Brandon Ingram and Zion finishing at the end. They put this game away. Both guys, 3-something and some change. Zion comes back in, right? Comes in to finish. We're going to go over his minutes and what he did, but he comes back in. And Brandon Ingram and Zion closed it out.
Favors above the left elbow, get it between the circles to B.I. Gets a pick from Fave. Spot up for three straight away.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
Pretty.
And then Zion
drives on Jackson.
This is a pretty move.
Shot fake. Back out long to Holiday. Holiday sizing up Clark. Drives in. Kick it in the corner to Williamson. Zion drives all the way. And layup good. Strong to the bucket. Z.
I'll tell you what, he looks like he's got his legs on these last couple plays.
That's in the baseline drive that he got as well. We just smoked his defender into the corner. That was nice. And then, of course, Brandon Ingram.
Now back the other way. Ingram pull up three left wing. That is rinsed.
Hit that one. And then the final
now
one.
Alonzo to B.I. Shot clock at 8. Ingram around a pick. Pulls up from the baseline. Hit it!
That's your closer. There's your closer right there, Graf. There's your closer.
So, again, I loved it. Most importantly, again, like you said, obviously, he did the post-game interview. Zion finished the game. I mean, the win was the most important aspect of it. The second was you saw Zion not only go in there and finish minutes-wise, but I thought that last bucket he had when he starts into the right corner, essentially, inside a three-point arc, Jordan, then drives the baseline and then lays it in right there. He could have passed it. There was a pal or two open, but he's like, no, I'm going to close it. And I think that's what's all. And again, I've been saying, I think Brandon Ingram and Zion can absolutely work well together. They can still both play their game. I didn't get that sense and feel that it was sort of like, who should do it? I think it was based on the opportunity, if that makes any sense to you, right? Like when Brandon Ingram had the ball, right, when Brandon Ingram had the ball, he was going to take it. If Zion had it, he was going to take it. And that's truly what you need to happen, Jordan. If you ever want this team to be the multiple offensive weapon approach, what can make this team dangerous, if both guys have the ability, now Zion doesn't have the jump shot just yet. He has to go to the rim. But that's still an unstoppable thing. Shaq was a tough thing, right, inside the paint in that area. But if Brandon can knock down shots, and Zion, once he's in this certain area, it's going to go in one way, shape, or form, that's going to put a lot of stress on defenses. You know? So, again, I get one game, but it was nice to see on a multiple level of fronts there. A, minutes wise, B, overall, you saw those two guys that are going to be your scorers for your team finish the game. Gentry on closing out with Zion.
I thought it was a combination of everything. You know, the medical guys thought that he was able to go back in and play, and, you know, that's why he was able to do it. So I thought he played really good down the stretch. And as I said, I think he had some plays that he's normally going to finish, and he will finish, that he just didn't finish, you know, just didn't finish them tonight. But I think you'll see those going also.
And you saw, again, I used the analogy yesterday on the show with Raphael. Maybe he's like a Mark Ingram, right? Remember Mark Ingram? You needed to give him a handful of carries to get sweaty, lather it up, and get going, and he got stronger the more you used him. Like Zion early on, you saw him miss some shots. I mean, you saw him make some, but you saw him get some blocks. He kind of looked a little sluggish to get going. But to me, he looked like he got stronger as the game went on. Am I wrong on that? I don't know. But after the game, final bite, and then we'll go to our first break. Zion on how he and B.I. clicked.
That was just one of those things where, you know, we're just two hoopers and we're just playing off each other. And, you know, coach is giving us the right guidance and putting us in the right positions to make plays.
I love it. You heard that. For all you guys that wanted to get rid of Coach Gentry, coach put us in this by the game, man. I love it, though. Hey, let's take a quick break. We come back. The color analyst for Pelicans basketball, John DeShazer, will join us. Amy Just of the Times-Picayune covers the Saints. We'll join us now on Tuesdays here at 12:30. We'll talk about as the Saints now get ready. We're in conditioning. We're in the conditioning phase, Jordan. We're all about conditioning. Next hour, Jake Madison, Dr. Holly McKenna, hour three, touch them all, Timmy Grubbs, my Cubbies. Cubbies. Jordan, my Cubbies. We might talk about them. And Leo Haggerty is going to join us, a late edition here at 2:30. Apparently, Cam Jordan had some words, and, you know, the Bucks don't like what he had to say. Oh, well. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Nothing yet.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Tired of your current vehicle? Ready for something fresh? Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma is having a trade-in sale.
Trade-in sale.
Even though you don't like your current vehicle,
they want it.
And we'll give you the low Greg LeBlanc Toyota pricing.
Plus, give you more for your trade.
Bring your trade and upgrade to the new 4Runner, Tundra, Camry, or Highlander you've been wanting.
Get started now.
Shop at GregLeBlancToyota.com, where your satisfaction is their number one priority. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
Bill George Jewelers in Thibodaux is the go-to destination for jewelry and gifts. They're family-owned and operated since 1905 with third-generation ownership. They pride themselves in personally satisfying every customer that comes in their door, no matter your budget. Check out their selection of engagement rings and baby jewelry. Interest-free financing is available. Custom designs and gift items are available by special order. Need watch or jewelry repair? It's Bill George Jewelers in Thibodaux. Like them on Facebook.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Wing. That is rich from the wing.
Tell you what, needed to make that one because they took that. That was a quick shot.
Very quick shot.
That was a quick shot considering the situation.
John DeShazer, you just heard him just now with Todd Graffinini. They call, of course, your New Orleans Pelicans games here on ESPN New Orleans. John, good afternoon to you, sir. How nice is it to be talking after a Pelicans victory?
Well, Kat, it's a hell of a lot better than talking after Saturday's game. I can tell you that. It was just good to see him getting the W column, man. You know, after the Utah loss, you know, you kind of felt like, okay, this is a team that could you know, if they get it together, they should be able to be okay. And then after the Clippers loss, that was pretty deflating. Even though it's only one game, that was pretty deflating. But, you know, to see them win it on Monday, man, that was nice. It was really nice.
All right, let's go over the checklist, essentially, that Graf gave us yesterday as to the ways the Pelicans can win games, not just going into a game, but the recipe they've shown throughout the season. And that starts with not committing as many turnovers, only 14, but it was really, I guess, it wasn't at the wrong times a lot of times, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the wrong time. So, you know, and their problem is when they turn it over often, they're live ball turnover, you know, and transition buckets that you're giving away free, you know, wide open layups or breakaway dunks and that kind of thing, things that you can't defend. You know, defending, you know, if you turn it over because you travel, that's one thing. Because you can reset your defense. But when you turn it over live ball, there's nothing you can do about it most of the time. So those were the issues. And then they had a ton of them. I mean, had, you know, I think they turned it over 18 times for 34 points against the Clippers. You can't beat an NBA team that way. You know, that'll make it, if it won't make it impossible, it'll make it pretty close to impossible. But if you can keep it down to 14, 15, 16, that's reasonable for a team that plays at the pace New Orleans play that, so they'll get a ton of possessions, they'll get a ton of shots, and they'll give themselves a chance to win. So, yeah, Graf's absolutely correct. If you don't turn it over, you'll give yourself a chance.
Defense, also another one of Graf's, you know, checklist there. They got to check and got to play defense at the right times, and more importantly, when you got a guy like Jrue Holiday versus Ja Morant, my goodness, he did it again. 11 points for Ja in 39 minutes, 5 of 21. Look, Ja still had 8 assists, 5 rebounds, but he was 1 of 10 from three-point line. Is it, John, is it just the fact that he has to work so much harder to get the shots, or is it that just Drew's just around him enough to just distract him a bit?
Look, he would never admit it, I'm sure, and neither would Jrue Holiday and probably nobody else in the NBA, I mean, publicly. But it looks like, for all the world, that Jrue Holiday's in his head. I mean, Jrue Holiday is the antidote for, you know, Ja Morant. He's got the long arms. He's stronger than Ja Morant. He's taller than Ja Morant. And he can stay in front of him. And now he's so much in his head that he's basically daring him to take the – did you see how much space he gave him for those threes?
Mm-hmm.
He went underneath the screen, and I'm guessing there might have been 5 to 10 feet between him and Ja Morant. He was basically begging Ja Morant to shoot a three. And when Morant couldn't make one, I think his confidence just really sapped out on him. And that's how you end up going 1 for 10 from three-point range. But Drew Holiday gives him the blues and has every time he's seen him this season. Now, John Morant's going to be a great – he's a good player now. He's going to be a great player. Mm-hmm. But even for great players, there are some people who just have the answer for who you are. Drew Holiday has a lot of answers for a lot of folks. And so it ain't a big surprise that he's got the answer for John Morant, but he really just took it to him defensively and took him out of the game. And if you can get rid of John Morant, if you're playing Memphis, you got a real good chance of beating that team.
25 minutes for Zion Williamson. Let's talk about him a little bit here, because that was obviously one of the things you take away from the win last night. Speak with John DeShazer of the Pelicans Radio Network. John, 25 minutes. You go to that fourth quarter, because you mentioned the words great, and great players finish and close. And in that fourth, first 3 minutes, I just saw it on SportsCenter, he had 3 points in the first 5 minutes and some change, sat down, came back towards the end of the fourth quarter, and it almost, you could just see it in the body language, John. He was going to close. He was going to help this team win come heck or high water. We'll get to B.I. in a second, because it was a beautiful tandem, those two. But what did you see specifically from Zion in that last frame of the fourth when he came back off the bench?
Well, even from the beginning of the game to the end, he looks like his bounce came back. See, I mean, Kat, he looked like, you know, early in the game, he looked like he was struggling. He wasn't finishing around the rim. He was getting his shot blocked. He just didn't seem to have the same lift. And as the game progressed, and especially down the stretch, he just looked like he had a little bit more excitement, a little bit more bounce. And maybe his conditioning is coming back, or maybe it was the adrenaline of the moment, but he rose to the challenge in that moment. And, I mean, you know, he'd been saying, hey, I don't really want to come out of games. Now, physically and conditioning-wise, it looked like he was laboring the first two games, and it looked like he labored the early part of this one. But it seemed like as the game progressed, especially down the stretch, he just looked like he had his legs under him, and it looked like his bounce was better. And, you know, if he's got that going for him, then he's getting in better condition, and he's going to be tough to handle around the rim because he's got such a good bounce.
And then you add what Brandon Ingram did. Again, look, he led the team in scoring. And I've said this before on our show, John, that there's some people that question whether or not, you know, they can play together. I'm like, I think that absolutely can. And you saw it in the 19-game stretch before the shutdown, John, where Brandon Ingram would actually lead the team in scoring, but Zion got double-doubles. And I'm like, look, I think they play well off of one another. And what I loved in that late fourth quarter with two and some change was it was the classic, you know, saying, it was double barrel action. If B.I. had it, he was, you know, draining shots. If Zion had it, he was taking it to the rim. So you almost had an inside-outside game. And if you're the defense, I don't know who to stop, because if I pay attention inside, I'm going to get killed outside. If I go outside, I'm going to get killed inside. And I thought it was smart the Pels realized that, and Zion said that. I played the bite before coming to you about him saying, you know, the coach put us in that situation. I think if those two guys are clicking like that, the coaching staff can just kind of pick and choose what they want to do.
Yeah, the floor is going to stay space when they're out there, and that's the big thing. They don't get in each other's way. You know, Zion can do his work in the paint, around the rim, or he can go out on the perimeter if he's got a certain big on him, like he had Valanciunas last night, and basically took him anytime he felt like it. And we know Brandon Ingram is smooth. He can get to the basket, or he can pull up, shoot a three, he can shoot a mid-range, you know, or he can dish to a teammate. So they will be really good complementary players because they don't do the exact same thing and they don't get in one another's way. And with this team, if you can keep the floor spaced and keep the pace up like they want to and move the basketball, they're going to be dangerous. Now, you'll get in some situations where you got to play some one-on-one, and Brandon Ingram is capable of doing that, and Zion's capable of doing that. But when they're on the floor together, you can really get them to share the basketball, because we saw a couple of times last night, you know, B.I. makes a move and he gets the ball to Zion and Zion finishes. You know, that's a perfect complement for what you want to see, a guy who can drive it and draw a double team, attract a double team, and get it to another guy who, if he's in a one-on-one situation, can and most likely will finish.
J.D., we saw a lot of the guys last night kind of help out on the bench, from the bench a lot. We saw Josh Hart dropped 15 points. Nikola Melli finally having a good game inside the bubble with some of those assists, 5 points. And you saw J.J. Redick continue what he's been doing, just putting up monster points, 16 points. But we also haven't seen some of the guys like Kenny Hustle and maybe a Jahlil Okafor that could really help out on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, but, you know, you shrink down your rotations and you go with the guys you feel comfortable with. You know, Kenny Hustle missed so many games with that back injury, and now that he's getting back into it, you know, you're going with the guys you trust as much as anything. And they, and yeah, I can't think of a time when Kenrich Williams is on the floor that he doesn't make plus plays. But now you got to figure out where his minutes are going to come from. If you got Brandon Ingram, and if you got Nico Melly, and if you got Josh Hart, so it's kind of hard to find minutes for him. You can in maybe certain situations, but it's hard to get him out there. And then Jahi Okafor, if he's going to play the five for the Pelicans, well, you got Derek Favors, you got Jackson Hayes, and you've got Nico Melly running those spots for you. And in certain situations, if a team goes small against you, you got Zion playing some five. So it's tough to find minutes for him. Unfortunately, we do know when he gets minutes, he's really, really productive because, you know, he's an old school five. You know, he gets you on the post and he abuses you, and a lot of teams can't stop that, and a lot of bigs don't like that kind of physicality. But it's tough to find the minutes behind those three. So it's tough to maneuver those guys in when you shorten your rotation.
John, final thing for you. You took care of business. You took care of what you can, and that's what the guy said at shoot-around yesterday that they had to do. Now it's time to scoreboard watch. Off today, we'll get some shots up tomorrow and have a practice. In the meantime, it's time to watch some basketball, beginning with about an hour from now at 1:30, Mavs and Kings. Today it's about Texas. Rockets and Blazers tonight, 8 o'clock TNT. Real simple. Go Dallas, go Houston. Tomorrow, Memphis and Jazz, go Utah. Nuggets and Spurs, go Denver. So now it's time to just watch and cheer.
Yeah, and that's the fun part of this, man. This is like, you know, I know Alvin, you know, Gentry called it, you know, the best AAU tournament you can ever find, but this is a stand-in for the NCAA tournament for me. I mean, you know how you go to the first NCAA tournament weekend where, you know, they start playing about noon and they're playing the rest of the day. This is kind of what the feel is, and all these games have such meaning to it. It isn't the one-and-done situation, but there's so much movement at the bottom of that Western Conference standings between, you know, team 8 and 12 or so. So all of these games have such meaning and such high impact. And for the Pelicans, you wish they'd have taken care of the business against Utah, but now you get a chance to sit back and let somebody else help you out, which was probably going to be the case anyway. But, man, you glue in on all these games because all of them have so much meaning right now, man. So it's really a fun time of year to me. If you like hoops at all, and you can't say you're a Hoops fan and don't like what's about to happen here in the NBA.
Yeah, Jordan's going to have to do some of these interviews because I'm going to be watching some basketball over his shoulder on the TV in the studio. That's how it works. Well, John, great job as always, man. I love listening to the call. And look, it's fun, right? I mean, when every shot matters, this is what you want. And at the very least, this experience, I think, is going to help this young team. Look forward to talking to you a little bit later in the week, man.
All right, man. We'll be here.
Yep, at John DeShazer. It's the way to give him a follow over on social media. Color commentator for your New Orleans Pelicans. He, the Craft, and Daniel, along with Caroline, have your calls and broadcast each and every day. Thursday, remember, 12:30 tip time. No hangover, because 12 o'clock, Daniel's going to take on over and do the pregame show. But it's a very big game. In the meantime, as I said, go Texas today. Go Dallas, go Houston. Tomorrow, go Utah, go Denver. We'll go over that again, I promise. When we come back, Amy Just, we'll talk a little Saints football. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover and your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. I'm a salsa fellow
when my baby smiles at me. The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at the Mopar Service Center at your local Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealership.
How'd you get in my house, B?
Through the air conditioning vent. It's dark in there.
Go away.
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Cheerios? Do I look like a child to you?
Honey Nut Cheerios are tasty and can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Cheerios are good for you. Mm.
Did you just
No.
I'm pretty sure I heard a
It was my dryer.
You might want to get that thing checked out.
Have a change of heart. Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Dad.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom. And I can't wait to be a grandpa.
Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover Hour 1 brought to you by the King Firm. Amy Just joins us at Amy_Just is the way to follow her. She covers your New Orleans Saints for the Picayune. Amy, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Just waiting to get started with Saints stuff today. We've got interviews with DeMario Davis and Thomas Morstead later this afternoon, so it'll be good to continue to talk about football, even though everything just feels so weird right now.
It does.
We should be standing in the hot sun.
Yeah, here's the thing. I was going to, what do you call that, Jordan, when I tell you to go do it instead so I can stay inside? There's a certain word for
delegation.
Delegation. Yes, I was going to delegate. Jordan can go up there.
Or you just use me as another word.
No, for not it. Using. No, it's delegate. It's delegate. Definitely. No. One of the things, Amy, that I did find interesting, you brought up players, being made available. It's a little different than it has been, of course. And it was so weird hearing Drew Brees speak for 30 minutes. We're normally out there on the first day of practice is when we normally get him. And he went through a litany of different things. And I mean, there was so much to take out of that 30 minutes from really, it kind of sounded like, without saying, it's Super Bowl or bust for him this year. And it kind of seems like this is his final year. And it's really the reason he came back, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I thought last year would be his last year, and then he got hurt, And then maybe this year will be his last year. But if the season is paused because of COVID or something happens to where he can't play a full season, I personally think that he's not going to walk away if the season gets halted, kind of like baseball has, at least for some teams.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. One of the other things that it was interesting to hear him say was how this ramp-up period's going to be. And look, he and Sean Payton are pillars of preparation. I mean, they value being prepared for every scenario possible, and this is unique to everybody. But don't you get the sense and feeling that when Sean spoke, and especially Drew too, that they're going to take pride in terms of if they can prepare better than other teams, it's a competitive advantage for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Saints, not just necessarily with Sean and Drew, but from top to bottom, mostly. They haven't had a whole lot of roster turnover. They only lost, one position coach last year, and the guy who's replacing him was his assistant. So there's really no changes, for the most part. And I think that helps, too. I wouldn't want to be on a team like Carolina, for example, this year, when you've got a new head coach, new coordinators, new starting quarterback. You don't even have Luke Kuechly anymore, right? So they're having to start over, which is a hard thing to do anyway. And then you're thrown into this where there's no OTAs, there's no mini camp, and you have a very strange training camp setup. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be really hard for them. And that's going to be hard for every team because it's something you have to – you're not used to. You're not used to this at all, no matter how long you've been in the game, no matter how long you've been with the team that you're with. This is new for everybody. But I think the Saints are in a better position than other teams, especially because as of, you know, right now, they haven't had any positive COVID tests.
Right. Speak with Amy just covers the Saints for the Pick U. And, you know, one of the things that I find interesting as well is you look at the roster moves and everything. And I know Sean Payton touched on it. That's different. And really, when you were last on, we touched on, hey, the Saints have used undrafted rookie free agents and to the best of most teams, if not the best in the NFL in terms of finding starters or players that can really help out. Were you surprised they cut the roster down to 80? Or is this kind of what we're going to see, you know, addition of two or three and a subtraction of two or three?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they did it when they did, because that's when they did it right after physicals. So they had everybody go through a physical, which – normally that would be done, you know, way back when during, you know, rookie mini camp and OTAs. And if it was a free agent, that would have been done before they even signed their contract. Right. Mm-hmm. So they got those out of the way and then made those decisions. And if I remember correctly, they only let two, undrafted free agents go. So, they let some guys go who were known quantities. Like Krishan Hogan, for example, wide receiver, more known for his special teams play and his blocking ability. And Taylor Stallworth, another undrafted free agent guy that they brought in a couple years ago. But the depth at Taylor's position in, you know, defensive line and wide receiver is so deep. It's just going to be so difficult for guys to crack the roster in those positions. And, you know, that's the hard part about this. Like, if the Saints weren't so stacked, those guys would make the 53. And it wouldn't surprise me if those two especially, and then some of the other ones that they let go, make other teams 53-man rosters when this is all said and done.
Amy, I know the Saints are, like, one of the first teams to create this bubble-like environment. They're staying at a hotel near the Superdome. How is that going to benefit the Saints opposed to other teams that maybe aren't going to be in a bubble for training camp, and how will that help them out, especially if the NFL does move to a bubble kind of situation and that's what they go with in the future?
Yeah, it reduces risk. So it doesn't eliminate risk completely, right? Because there's risk with everything that we do. But it eliminates the risk for players to either contract the virus themselves or potentially come into contact with somebody who has the virus. And that's, again, you can be put on the COVID-19 list for either one of those things, and teams are not allowed to discuss which reason players are on that list. But right now, the Saints haven't had to deal with that because nobody has been put on the list yet. And I think reducing the risk is incredibly important. Now, it's not mandatory, but I think you're going to see more players who you might not expect, ones with families, things like that, go into the hotel, just because you can only control what you do. Like, let's say players with kids, they've got their kids going back to school when school starts. You know, you can't control who your kids come into contact with, you know, or like and I think it's smart for the Saints to go and try to do this sort of thing and, you know, create a bubble of sorts. You know, it's not a complete bubble, but there's just so many mitigating factors with all of this. And Sean, you can't say he isn't prepared for things, because he tries to be. But I'm surprised more teams haven't tried doing something like this.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it makes so much sense, doesn't it? It makes so much sense when it comes to that, especially at the very beginning, because right now time is of the essence and there's so little days to practice and, you know, get ready. I know we're in day two, quote unquote, of conditioning and such, but, you know, if you have to sit out for a couple of number of days or you infect a good amount, that just puts you so far behind. And that's one of the things, again, I got from listening to the players speak over the weekend too. They realize they're sort of, quote unquote, under the gun here once practices actually do get underway and padded practices start in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and this is a scenario that will likely pop up, not necessarily with the Saints, but with other teams. Let's say a player gets, you know, the virus right before practices start. Okay, so he's done for, like, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 or even more days. That's, like, all your practice. Like, that's a scary situation no matter who you are on the roster, whether you're a seasoned vet or you're an undrafted rookie that a team took a chance on, you know, after they made the cut to 80. Like, that's a situation that nobody wants to find themselves in, but it's almost inevitable at this point unless you take some of the precautions like the Saints are doing. And even then, it's not foolproof either. It doesn't eliminate the risk, but it reduces it.
Speaking of risk and reducing, some details came out today about how the NFL is not playing around with basically you either taking your COVID test, wearing your tracking device that Drew Brees kind of gave us a little tidbit on back over the weekend. You know, it bleeps red and tells you if you're not 6 feet apart and such, and also refusing to maintain social distancing. Kind of give the listeners some details as to what the NFL sent out to players and teams.
Yeah, so if a player refuses to take their COVID-19 test, that's a maximum fine of $50,000.
50 grand.
50 grand. Now, again, for guys like Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, it's kind of like a drop in the hat, but, you know, that'll add up, right? If you're like, no, I'm not going to take it, and then you continue not to take it, that'll add up. Mm-hmm. And then if you refuse to wear a mask or personal protective equipment, you refuse to wear your tracking device, or you refuse to maintain social distancing, it's progressive discipline. So you can get fined just a hair under $15,000 for some of that stuff. So that adds up quickly if you're being defiant of this stuff. But from the players that I've talked to, that we've talked to, right, they want to be as safe as possible. Because they don't want to get it, they don't want to spread it, they don't want to potentially give it to their wives or children,
right,
or anybody else that they interact with. So hopefully we won't be having to write about, you know, COVID fines, because Lord knows that's going to get politicized. But yeah, we'll see what happens as teams enforce this and what players are following the rules and which ones aren't.
Amy, don't get me wrong, I love listening to players speak and such, but I don't know about you, I'm ready to either watch a little practice or hear about little practice and just kind of see his team get going here, because it's been a long. I'm not used to seeing August 4th and not a whistle, not a sound of, you know, guys getting out there playing some football, you know?
Yeah, well, watch more Pelicans basketball.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. We got plenty of hoops and, you know, and some great. So, you know, so at least we got a win last night. So there you go. Amy, as always, looking forward to it. Jordan, every single Tuesday. We got a little time for Amy. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single Tuesday, right around this time, 12:30-ish to about now, you know, we'll be chatting a little Saints football. Appreciate you doing that for us, Amy.
Of course. Happy to be on.
Yep, at Amy_Just is the way to follow her over on social media. Saints reporter, of course, for the Times-Picayune. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Yep, see you next Tuesday. Hey, Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured at accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Jordan Kleber. Do you want to hear more from some Pels players after the game yesterday?
Why not?
You want to hear from Coach?
Why not?
Want to hear from Zion?
Let's harp on it as much as we harp on a loss.
Wow, that kind of sounded like you think I talk too much over a loss, or
no? I'm just saying, okay. we always, whenever there's
a
loss,
it's a good thing. It's a win.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah,
we got to talk about.
We can
the
talk
win.
About your mental state.
I'm a lot.
I had to calm you down, but I don't think you're alone. We can explore that because I don't think you're alone. Okay, we'll do that. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Of your waking mind.
It's the summer clearance event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homock. Get a great deal on a Ram today and check out their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business. With Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans, choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street